Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Did you guys see the video of the NCAA wrestling championships? And wrestler after wrestler, I really should say fighter after fighter after fighter, going up to shake the hand of the man who fights for America. This was remarkable. Man, this was like Hollywood couldn't have produced better footage in a movie. They couldn't have scripted it better. Donald J. Trump walks in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He walks into the NCAA wrestling championships. And, of course, here in Montana, wrestling is a huge sport. Here in Montana, you know, and so, champion after champion walked over to President Trump, shook his hand, got some photos with him. But when President Trump walked into this arena, the place just went nuts. The place went crazy. And then, of course, chants of USA, USA, as President Trump walked in. But the coolest moment, though, I think, was the heavyweight wrestling champ who defeated the Olympic gold medalist wrestler. And I haven't followed these guys. I haven't followed NCAA wrestling, of course, myself. But it looked like he was the underdog. The big dog was the underdog with this massive upset. And the guy who ends up winning, Oklahoma State, right? Oklahoma State wrestler, wrestling for Oklahoma State anyway, has apparently already been commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force, or is soon to be commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. But there on the mat, he points at President Trump and then throws a salute at the commander in chief. And then you can see President Trump doing his little fist wave back at the NCAA wrestling champion. I'm trying to scroll down through some of my posts on X here from over the weekend. Every weight class, it seemed like the champ came up to shake hands with the fighter. There we go. This is the one I was looking for. This is from Rapid Response 47 on X. Wyatt Hendrickson, a second lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force, salutes President Donald J. Trump after winning an NCAA wrestling national championship. So Wyatt Hendrickson is the heavyweight champ there. But the video is crazy. The crowd was going wild. I mean, just put aside President Trump. At one point, his opponent flips him over on his back. It looks like he's done for. And then he basically pulls a reversal on the Olympic gold medalist. And then as the ref is throwing his fingers in the air to say how many points Wyatt Hendrickson gets, the crowd just goes crazy. The crowd goes insane, and the announcers are like, oh, yeah, he's got this thing won. Oh, my goodness, he's about to win this thing, and then he does. Anyway, it's just remarkable footage. This is what sports is supposed to be like right here. I don't know if we'll get to that right after this. But we'll get to that here later this morning for sure. Maybe we'll save that footage for our statewide 9 o'clock hour when all the wrestlers from the Highline jump in.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy through the day today. We'll see a few rain showers around the area as well. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 61 in the Billings area. Still going to see an isolated shower into tonight. So low temperatures in the low to mid 40s. And then the outlook for Tuesday. Isolated shower chance early, then mainly sunny skies expected. Highs from 60 to 65 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
There has been a lot of debate over last week's flight, which deported suspected Venezuelan gang members to El Salvador. The administration has been adamant that the flight was in the air before a federal judge ordered it turned around. Border czar Tom Homan said while appearing Sunday on ABC's This Week that all of the Venezuelans on the plane were determined to be members of the gang Tren de Aragua.
And TDA has been determined to be terrorist organizations. They're not classified as terrorists, so that plane removed 240 terrorists from the United States.
Holman says the administration's actions will continue and that illegal border crossings are now down 96%. But the issue is about more than just illegal immigration.
We're going to secure that border, make sure no public safety threats or national security threats cross that border and get away.
Holman says about 40,000 criminals have been deported since President Trump took office. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
The week ahead.
Tuesday, the Supreme Court hears two cases involving the Environmental Protection Agency, one from the state of Oklahoma on which courts can hear challenges to the federal agency, the other on whether small refineries are exempt from EPA rules on fuel blends. Wednesday, it's Red Cross Giving Day. In its 11th year, it's an opportunity for local communities to help those who have been affected by a home fire or other disaster and who need Red Cross services to get back on their feet. Thursday, it's a day centered around sports. It's traditional MLB opening day. Most baseball teams playing their first game of the season. On the hard court, it's the first day of the NCAA tournament's Sweet 16. Friday, be careful what you say to your Alexa. Starting today, every command spoken to the virtual assistant through an Echo device will be automatically processed by Amazon. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I could do like a full hour just with commentary, phone calls, audio, highlights, and more from the NCAA National Wrestling Championship. But I'll save most of it for later on in the 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll talk about a bunch of other things. We won't spend a full hour just talking about that unless your phone calls keep coming in, of course. But, yeah, here you go. This was the ESPN audio. I shared this on Facebook, facebook.com/Flint Report. Wyatt Hendrickson defeating Olympic gold medalist Gable Stevenson, I think is how you pronounce his name here. This was for the heavyweight championship. I sent an email to our friend Kelly up in Glasgow. I said, man, this reminds me of my Uncle Dave, Big Dave, who was the 1980 state heavyweight, my uncle, who was the 1980 state heavyweight wrestling championship here. Listen to the announcers. This, you know, like I said, the ref flicks his fingers in the air for the points for Wyatt Hendrickson after he pulls this reversal. There you go. That was the live announcer coverage there. And then, you know what? Hey, since we're already rolling with a couple of these, let me get to one more here. Yeah, Rapid Response 47 also sharing this clip of the announcers on ESPN basically announcing the big news that he won the national heavyweight title.
Captain America. Captain America.
Rob, I can't believe it.
My jaw's on the floor.
He did it. Hey.
Shut up. Shut up. Everybody shut up. Shut up, Rob.
I'm glad that he was the last match.
That's the last match.
That's the last match.
That's what a main event
looks like. That's what it should look like. That's a main event.
Yeah, it was the only mat in the entire arena at that point. And the crowd just went absolutely crazy. But it was so fun watching the highlight reel in the video, because as they were just, you know, playing that audio right there, you could see video of President Trump. You could see Wyatt Henderson saluting President Trump. You could see President Trump, you know, giving the fist bump back to him. And then behind President Trump, you see a guy with a cowboy hat jumping around all crazy. And then you see, again, Wyatt, I think he was wrestling for Oklahoma State. You see Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He's freaking out because Mark Wayne Mullen, he's the only Native American in the United States Senate, Oklahoma Senator. Yeah, that's right. Elizabeth Warren is not Native American. She just lied about it. But Mark Wayne Mullen was a champion mixed martial arts fighter and also a wrestler. Apparently, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, a champion wrestler, was also in the House. But you could see Mark Wayne Mullen just freaking out. The guy with the cowboy hat next to him must be a relative that helps run the ranch back there in Oklahoma. He's freaking out, jumping up and down like crazy. Man, it was just absolutely remarkable. All right, let's see. Let's get into the big stories of the day here. Let's see, where do we start? Let's start with what we've got already ready for you on our Montana Talks website right now. I haven't even organized my stack of stuff yet here. But big news over the weekend. First, if you missed any of our coverage on Friday or Thursday, if you missed any of our Thursday or, frankly, our Friday coverage from the KATQ Radio Farm Expo in Plentywood. The full audio, of course, is on our Montana Talks website. And I've got a couple of stories posted there as well. You know, my conversation with Plentywood farmer Blake Rasmussen and some highlights of what Montana Grain Growers President Clayton Lohr had to say. You know, two things that stood out. You had the Montana Grain Growers President talking about these $5 a bushel, you know, about 580, 590, I think it was last week when we were in Plentywood. So he was talking about, hey, you know, how he's farming the same land as Grandpa farmed back in the 1970s, but still getting these 1970s $5 a bushel grain prices. So we talked about that. Plus, we talked about how for the first time in our nation's history, 2 years ago, we were a net importer of farm products in America. It's crazy. So check that out, MontanaTalks.com. But here's the big story that some of you may not have seen yet. This is a big story. We've obviously been covering the arrests. We've been covering the Mexican drug cartels. We've been covering Trende Aragua, the violent Venezuelan prison gang that's been operating here in Montana as well. Here we go. Here is another one for you. There's a Trende Aragua-related arrest by the Border Patrol in Haver, Montana. Last week, when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also some rumors about something going on in Haver, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Haver Sector confirmed on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Trende Aragua illegal alien gang members. And by the way, thanks to one of our readers and listeners for the tip. Here's the info from the Border Patrol. On March 4th, 2025, Haver Sector agents apprehended a subject involved in the smuggling of three illegal aliens. The illegal aliens have been identified as Trende Aragua gang members. And so the smuggler, a U.S. citizen, will be prosecuted under a couple of different U.S. Federal laws. Anyway, more on that story right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a chainsaw approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago, only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lot. One of the funniest members of Congress of all time died recently. Three-term former Republican Wyoming Senator and Senate GOP whip Alan Simpson passed away after complications from a broken hip. Known for his wit, Simpson once quipped the following about the importance of representative government. Quote, in your country club, your church, and business, about 15% of the people are screwballs, lightweights, and boobs, and you would not want those people unrepresented in the Congress. Simpson was known for working across the aisle with Democrats. He supported abortion rights and was an early GOP advocate for same-sex marriage. But Simpson even condemned his own conduct at the 1991 Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings. Former President Biden served with Simpson in the Senate and presented him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2022. Simpson did not seek re-election to the Senate in 1996. He lost his whip post to future Majority Leader Trent Lott in late 1994. Alan Simpson was 93 years old. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the American Sheep Industry Association will continue its requests to the Trump administration and lawmakers to include Australian and New Zealand lamb in the food and agriculture tariff plans during its annual fly-in this week to Washington, D.C. Now, 50 sheep industry leaders representing ASI and 16 of its state affiliate organizations will descend upon our nation's capital this week to meet with congressional and administration officials to promote the sheep industry's request. ASI President Ben LaFelta of Montana says the ASI ask for crucial support in addressing the surge in foreign lamb and including lamb imports in the agriculture and food tariff plan expected to be announced on April 2nd is to ensure consumers have access to American lamb as well as future sustainability of the U.S. sheep and lamb industry. ASI also continues to work with international trade legal firm Kelly Dry to gather support from domestic lamb meat companies to help pursue a trade violation case, its third such investigation in recent years. Keep in mind, in 2024 alone, imported lamb and mutton accounted for 73% of the total lamb and mutton consumption in the United States. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. At Hinman Angus, 81 thing. Angus, Tuesday, April 1st, 175 yearling bull sell at the ranch east of Malta, Montana. Offering a good mix of cow and heifer bulls with everything a cowman needs like performance, maternal, calvinese, and carcass quality. Large sire groups from HA, PSI, KO31, Sits, Resilient, and more. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock Video. For more information, call Dave at 406-654-4656 or visit Hinman Angus.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, in a win for some food industry groups, the Food and Drug Administration plans to extend the deadline for a major food safety rule by 30 months, punting the compliance date for food traceability until the final year of the Trump administration. Currently, the compliance date for the Food Safety Modernization Act's requirements for additional traceability records for certain foods rule is January 20th of 2026. However, the FDA plans to kick this deadline by 30 months or until June 20th of 2028. The rule, commonly known as the Food Traceability Rule, sets enhanced requirements for farm-to-table record keeping, and the goal is to help FDA identify and remove contaminated foods from the market more quickly. And finally this morning, according to the Public Lands Council, the public comment period for the monarch butterfly has been reopened for an additional 60 days, now closing on May 19th. Additionally, the endangered and threatened wildlife and plants grizzly bear listing on the list of endangered and threatened wildlife with the revised Section 4D rule has been extended until May 16th. PLC will be submitting comments on this proposed ruling as well. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We'll talk more about this Trenday Aragua-related arrest by the Border Patrol in the Havre, Montana sector. First, let's get quick reaction on the phone lines. Nancy in Roundup, yeah, what's your thoughts? Here we go, another one, huh?
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks. Henry, that's good news that they're arresting them and finding them along that northern border. And I am so happy that people are calling into your show or emailing you, letting you know what's going on, you know, concerning the illegal immigration problem. And I just have a couple of quick talking points. I just want to point out that, you know, the United States, President Trump has brought this up. We give Canada $200 billion every year for their national security. And now let me tell you something. I don't think we should be doing that in the first place, but I believe before we give them another check, the government needs to be audited, because I don't believe that they're using $200 billion on security. Number one, they're not doing anything about the illegal immigration. They're not putting up any border barriers like around small towns in Vermont and New York to keep these illegals from crossing into the United States from Canada. And don't forget, they allowed a Chinese spy balloon to cruise over their country into our state, Montana. So they're not using this money for security. I'd like to really know what in the hell they're doing with it. But the other talking point, too, is President Trump is considering revoking 530,000 illegal immigrants, and this includes some Ukrainians. Now, let me tell you why Ukrainians could be deported, even though they are considered refugees from a war-torn nation. They were flown into our country by NGOs and Joe Biden. You know, there's an international law that says that the first country that any refugee goes to must take them in. And so I think that I hate to see...
Should be plenty of room in Europe. Yeah, should be plenty of room in Europe. That's exactly right. Yeah, thanks for your comments on that. Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah, back to this story, Trende Aragua-related arrest by the Border Patrol in Havre, Montana, the U.S. Border Patrol Havre sector. Basically, you've got a young woman who was smuggling in these three illegal aliens who have been identified as Trende Aragua gang members. And this is in the Havre sector. By the way, a Havre sector intel agent also played a crucial role in tracking down a wanted murderer, according to another post on the Havre sector's Facebook page. It doesn't look like the murderer was specifically operating here in Montana, but a Montana-based Border Patrol intelligence agent was successful in tracking down that illegal alien homicide suspect. There was also the Border Patrol Spokane sector in Whitefish. The Whitefish station, they also tracked down another illegal alien as well. Man, it's good to see our Border Patrol finally covering that story. Let me pull quickly in back here. I saw this, by the way, KJJR shared a story over the weekend here, and hat tip to MontanaRightNow.com. They were the first to share this information, so I always want to give credit where credit's due. A lot of news outlets won't do that. They won't credit radio stations covering stories first. But Joey Taylor had this for Nonstop Local: Whitefish agents arrest wanted felon from Mexico during operations. Whitefish station agents with the Border Patrol conducted a targeted enforcement operation and arrested Juan
Angel Carranza Guzman, an illegal alien and aggravated felon from Mexico. He has a significant criminal history in the United States. His felony convictions include battery with the use of a deadly weapon, and then also reentry of a deported alien. Apparently, oh, this was the one that really stood out to me here. This is why, yeah, I need to print that story up. This is also of interest to me. So listen to this line here. Additionally, Carranza Guzman is a wanted man in Bozeman, Montana, for contempt of court. Wait a minute. Why is he wanted for contempt of court? The guy was in this country illegally. What? Now, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a caveman. I don't know all these crazy lawyer games, right? So what that tells me is that law enforcement had a run-in with this illegal alien who had already been previously deported, who has already got a rap sheet in America, and they had a run-in with this guy in Bozeman, Montana, but apparently he never showed up for a court hearing. Why was the guy not immediately thrown behind bars? Maybe that happened. Somebody tell me what happened here. How is the guy wanted in Bozeman, Montana for contempt of court? Right? Now, what would be very interesting to find out here is, when was he wanted for contempt of court? What does this stem back to? Where does this go back to? Because remember, you've got a liberal prosecutor, a liberal county attorney in Gallatin County, new on the job. And have you noticed how Gallatin County never really wants to tell you what the immigration status is of these folks that are behind bars? Have you ever noticed how Gallatin County never wants to tell you how many illegal aliens are behind bars? And I think it's because you've got Democrat county commissioners, you've got a Democrat county attorney, and they're providing cover fire for the Democrat illegal alien invasion. Why is this guy wanted for contempt of court? That leads us all to believe that he was let right back out on the streets and never put behind bars where he belongs. And, of course, you got liberal judges in the Gallatin there as well.
Big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right. Hey, we're going to get back to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. But first up, great to have Jonathan Savage, Fox News Radio correspondent based in London, back with us here on Montana Talks. The Ukraine peace talks, U.S.-Ukraine peace talks, apparently are underway right now, or maybe they're about to wrap up in Saudi Arabia. How are the ceasefire talks going? How are the peace talks going? Jonathan Savage, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, so where are we at right now? I know I heard a report that they were having these talks or set to have the talks, but that's why we got you here, to tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so at the moment in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, it's just gone 3:30 in the afternoon, and in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel there are negotiators from the United States and Russia locked in a room. This follows meeting yesterday between Americans and Ukrainians. Looking for a peace deal, an end to the war this week, then perhaps you're being overly optimistic. One person who is optimistic is Steve Witkoff. He's Donald Trump's envoy in all these talks. He says he thinks Vladimir Putin wants peace. The Ukrainians are not so sure. They say that Russia is the obstacle to peace. What they're talking about moment is the possibility of cementing a deal to not strike each other's energy infrastructure, to talk about possibly having a deal to ensure that there's safety for shipping in the Black Sea and allowing Ukraine to export grain in exchange perhaps for a relief for Russian sanctions. These are the sort of things that are on the table this week. So it's a sort of incremental what many hope will one day be an end to this war.
Yeah, of course, all this comes after, God, I'm trying to think, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago now, the way the time is just flying by, this somewhat explosive meeting between Ukrainian President Zelensky, President Trump, and Vice President J.D. Vance in the Oval Office. So this kind of follows on the heels of that. And then, of course, you know, the United States has been having peace talks with Russians in Saudi Arabia as well.
Yeah, that's right. That Oval Office explosion shocked the world. And after that, after rounds of fever diplomacy in Europe, trying to get the Americans and Ukrainians to sort of patch up the relationship, what we see now is Ukraine to show that it's not the obstacle to peace. Talks led to the U.S. and Ukraine putting forward this idea for a 30-day comprehensive ceasefire deal. The Ukrainians said, yes, we will go for this. What did Russia say? Well, the Russians said, not so sure about this. There are nuances. Russia didn't agree to this deal because it said that it wanted the Ukraine not to be rearmed during these 30 days. It wanted Ukraine's military. It wanted not even intelligence passed to Ukraine within these 30 days. And it's these conditions Russia is attaching to even a 30-day pause in fighting that leads Ukraine to say that it's Russia that's the obstacle to peace.
Yeah, I was one of the ones who felt that even despite what took place in the Oval Office, that things were very much going to be on track. This is just part of the normal back and forth in the and the theatrics that have to go with a peace deal to eventually happen. I think Zelensky had to look like he was fighting for his people. President Trump looked like he was fighting for his people, and somehow Putin has to come out of this feeling like he got a deal as well.
Yeah, and I think that there's still an awful lot of mystery or cloud surrounding how this could possibly end with the two sides' red lines being so firmly drawn and so much in opposition to each other. I mean, Russia says that its goals for it, what it calls its special military operation, you can't legally call it a war there, it says that its goals haven't changed, that it wants Ukraine to be, in its phrase, demilitarized and denazified, as disputed as that concept is in terms of Ukraine. Also, it wants Ukraine never to be able to join NATO or the EU. It doesn't want Ukraine to have the right to decide its own future in that sense. And it wants the 20% of Ukraine that it occupies to be recognized internationally as part of Russia. Now, of course, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine is Ukraine and you can't have any of it.
Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio. Great to get your reporting as always. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Good to talk. Take care.
I appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you got something you want to talk about as well. Of course, you know, another follow-up question could be, does Europe want to see peace? How badly does Europe want to see peace? And or will they continue funding the war in the absence of the United States, continuing to basically send a blank check? So those would be some other, you know, potential follow-up questions there as well. But nonetheless, I still fully go back to my theory that even if you guys heard me, that, you know, in the days after, I think it was the Monday after the Tuesday, it was the Tuesday after the blow up at the in the White House Oval Office meeting with Zelensky. I talked with you know, a very interesting friend, and I totally agree with his statement at the time. Nope, this is all on track. This is all part of the peace process. All right, let's see. Back to this big story that we first covered over the weekend here. I don't know if anybody else has covered this story about the Trende Aragua related arrest by the Havre Border Patrol sector in Havre, Montana. But again, we've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. Oh, one quick thing before I move on from Russia and Ukraine, I should have jotted down a note while Jonathan Savage was chatting with us a couple of minutes ago. Did you hear what he said about grain? Was it imports or exports? He mentioned grain. So another story that I've got on our Montana Talks website is based off of my conversation with the president of the Montana Grain Growers Association.
what did he tell us last week? He told us how, for the first time in our nation's history, 2 years ago, that for the first time ever in our nation's history, we became a net importer of farm products. God, isn't that so reminiscent of what the Democrat Party and what the left has done to the United States of America? And it reminded me of Montana. Remember when Montana, for the first time maybe ever, first time in a long time, became a net importer of electricity? Remember, we actually had that happen. We had severe cold stretch and other factors going on. We actually had to import electricity from other states, which is crazy. There's no reason Montana should ever be forced to import electricity on a net basis, right? We have the resources, and we have fewer people. But this is what the Green New scam that the Democrats in Montana pushed on us has created. So anyway, but the other thing I want to say, when it comes to grain, why did we become a net importer of farm products? I asked Grok that question, and it pulled up 15 different news stories and a couple of different posts on X. One factor, this is just one factor. I'm not going to say it's the factor. The one factor is that Russia gained market share. Russia gained market share. Here's Joe Biden, who rolled out the red carpet for the invasion of Ukraine and kept the oil money flowing to Russia, kept the palladium from Russia flowing into America, which is one reason why our Stillwater miners got laid off. And then Joe Biden somehow allowed Russia to gain market share and compete against our wheat producers here in America. And for the first time ever under Joe Biden's presidency, we became a net importer of farm products. Anyway, I just wanted to highlight that one here as well. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson continues to lead and stand up for us. I was talking about the Trende Aragua-related arrest on the Havre, Montana Border Patrol sector. Roy McKenzie shared this late last week, and I'm glad he shared it because I was on the road in Plentywood. And Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson joining a 26-state coalition urging the U.S. Court of Appeals to lift a restraining order preventing the immediate deportation of Trende Aragua gang members. So Attorney General Austin Knutson standing up for us, standing with President Trump, and pushing back against these crazy left-wing Democrat judges who are trying to keep the criminal illegal aliens in this country. And, of course, Attorney General Austin Knutson pointing out that TDA, Trende Aragua, is a designated foreign terrorist organization responsible for widespread violence, trafficking, and criminal activity across the United States. And as I told you, just over the weekend, the news came out. Well, actually, it came out a few days ago, but we shared the news. I don't think anybody else had shared this news yet. We shared it at MontanaTalks.com about a U.S. citizen trying to smuggle Trende Aragua aliens into this country. The legislative update next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why do people have this faith in their government? I don't know. How'd that Obamacare thing work out for people? Because the promise was you're going to keep your doctor, keep your plan, and the average family will save $2,500 per year per family. It ended up being millions of Americans lost their doctors, millions lost their plans, and on average we're paying, 250 to 300% more for our premiums for inferior care. And over 40% of the country has one Obamacare exchange option. That didn't work out too well. And we've got to rethink how we do things. And we've got to look at things anew. $36,000 a year per student? Are you kidding me? On education?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Are you taking steps to help protect your money from the potential impact of world war?
Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We've seen threats from Iran, and now Syria has been taken over by extremists, putting the entire region at risk. The question is, how much more international conflict can we handle? And what impacts will these conflicts have on the global economy and your retirement savings? Right now, thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to precious metals like gold and silver to help them protect their hard-earned savings. You may not be able to control these global conflicts around the world, but you can control how you diversify your money. And that's where gold and silver could help. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver for qualified accounts, but only while supplies last. So don't wait. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your free copy today and find out if you qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy through the day today. We'll see a few rain showers around the area as well. High temperatures from 53 in Bozeman to 61 in the Billings area. So we'll see an isolated shower into tonight. So low temperatures in the low to mid 40s. And then the outlook for Tuesday, isolated shower chance early, then mainly sunny skies expected. Highs from 60 to 65 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, I'll tell you what, this is great news for Montana schools, Montana teachers, Montana kids. President Donald J. Trump signing an executive order to finally start dismantling the corrupt Federal Department of Education. Let's take all that money that's going to D.C. bureaucrats with all this regulatory garbage, and let's get that money back to Montana for us, our kids, and our schools. I had a great conversation with Superintendent Hedlund, who was there at the White House. Full audio, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
At the Montana legislature, some issues take longer than others to mature, but when they do, the results can be explosive and eye-opening. Such was the case on Friday in the House Judiciary Committee. The bill in question was Senate Bill 218, a bill to provide for a private right of action for injuries caused by certain medical interventions to treat gender dysphoria. This bill will allow victims who receive transgender medical procedures to go back and sue the medical professional who performed the procedures if they suffer permanent injury or psychological regret. The statute of limitations runs for 25 years after discovering the injury. As more and more young people are tricked into believing they were born in the wrong body, the number of injured victims is skyrocketing, a fact on full display during Friday's hearing. For far too long, we've been fed a one-sided story by unscrupulous members of the medical community who say that puberty blockers, heavy doses of cross-sex hormones, and irreversible surgeries are perfectly safe and effective. Where have we heard that before? We've been told by government officials, judges, school sports officials, and even presidents of the United States that transgenderism is perfectly normal and that society as a whole needs to stop being transphobic. Legitimate questions about men competing in women's sports, men using women's locker rooms, and the devastating effect of mastectomies on girls as young as 15 were all cast aside as uninformed examples of transphobic hysteria. But if the last 6 months are any indication, the tide may finally be turning. Serious scientific studies are now proving that so-called gender-affirming care does no good and may do serious harm, especially when performed on minors. Some European countries are now banning the practice. The U.S. federal government is changing course, and several large gender treatment clinics have shut down. It appears that attitudes may be changing, and biological truth, common sense, and reason are returning to the debate. Friday's hearing was packed with injured victims and doctors who spoke about faulty research and bad policies being endorsed by woke captured medical associations. Saddest of all were the stories that went on and on and on. Stories of deep regret by victims too young to make informed decisions about procedures that left them mutilated and sterile. Stories about experimental surgeries gone awry that left the patient with an open wound that never healed. And stories of abandonment by a medical community all too willing to help them pay for and undergo the original procedures, but refused to help in any way when the victim later expressed regret. Much of the blame rests at the feet of the judges. For the past decade, legislators in Montana and across the U.S. have passed common sense laws to protect starry-eyed or clinically depressed minors from unethical doctors. They've also passed laws to protect women in private spaces and return fairness to women's sports, all to no avail when liberal judges legislate from the bench. The difference between Friday's hearing and those of previous sessions is that this hearing was packed with victims demanding recourse. 10 years ago, these same people would have been on the other side demanding transgender rights. Now, having walked this path to its devastating conclusion, they just want their old lives and their old bodies back. Unfortunately for many, irreparable damage was done, and that's no longer an option. Senate Bill 218 already passed the Senate, and if it passes the House, it'll give the judges yet another chance to do the right thing. Whether they will or not is anyone's guess. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, let's see. What should we talk about coming up in the 7 o'clock hour? Of course, we're going to start with business news. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. And then we've got the phone lines open for you after that, pretty much for the rest of the morning. I know we've got, you know, one or two other things scheduled in there, but I want to go back to the auto pen that Stephen Ballantyne called in about last week.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a chainsaw approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago, only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Burkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.